All right. Good afternoon and welcome to Apex Radio. We're live now, and this is the Couch Talk. As usual, I'm your anchor for the show. My name is Frederick Imoni, aka Rico. With me in the studio is Mr. Medeme Owe, and joining us live via Zoom conference teleconferencing app is Mr. Adidamola Tosin, the PR expert, and would love to hear his opinions as regards the topic that we'll be discussing today. And it's a very important topic, as well as interesting, though very debatable. So I'll just quickly get down to it. We'll be discussing about the NSAS issue, and today's topic is NSAS, the morning after. A lot of things have transpired in the last month, the month of October, and it has been a dark month, so to say, for most Nigerians. A lot of things has been lost, a lot of lives has also been lost, and it is very, very important that we note that we hope, or we sincerely hope, that everything that happened was not in vain. So I'll start with you, Mr. Adedamola. So what I thought about the NSAS protest, let's just take it from there, and before we go into knowing if they can achieve anything at the moment.
Hello? Okay, yeah. So what's the question exactly? Sorry.
Yeah, so I was asking, what are your thoughts about the NSAS protest? Do you think it was necessary? And do you think we achieve anything from it going forward?
Okay, for the NSAS protest, do I think it was necessary? Well, yes, I think it was necessary, because if you will recall, the call to NSAS, I think, started like in 2017 or so.
Yes, that's correct.
It started in 2017. And between 2017 and October 2020, when people decided to come out en masse, the federal government had disbanded SARS about three different times, and it did not yield anything. You know, I remember the last one was when the vice president was the acting president, you know, and he came out on Twitter saying that SARS had been disbanded and this was going to be done and all. You know, so was the protest necessary? Yes, it was necessary, because not only is
Mr. Tosin, it seems we lost him for a moment. Also joining us on this program, we have Mr. Darlington Abudu.
Abuda, rather.
Sorry. Okay. Mr. Darlington, we're glad you could join us this afternoon. Sorry, Mr. Adidamola, sorry for the breaking transmission. Since we had problem with the network, but you were saying something before
we went. Yes. I was answering the question about. Okay, so I was answering the question about if the protest
was necessary.
You know? Yeah. So I started by saying that the whole NSAS thing started online around 2017, you know, and from that time till now, the government had promised that SARS will be disbanded. I remember that the last time was by the vice president, you know, and from 2017 till date, it looked like nothing was being done, you know. So, like I said, via my social media age. When you see a disunited set of people actually come around and unite to fight a particular cause that is not about entertainment or music, but about a social cause, then know that those set of people have been pushed
to the wall,
up to the limit. You get so, yeah, the protest was necessary, you know, and it was just going to happen. What it led into at the end can be debatable, but the protest was needed, you know. It was the kind of protest to establish a fact that the supposed youth who are never united for a common good can actually unite and demand something for the government and force the government to actually also react based on what they're asking for.
Okay.
And also, it is it's actually not sleeping. Like, they know what is right and they know what they want. And the fact that they have not been demanding for it all this while is not because they do not know what is right, but they haven't just been pushed yet to the wall like SARS had done.
Okay, thank you very much. So it's almost like the youth have been sleeping for a while. Imagine the giant of Africa with a majority of its population sleeping, or the high majority, the youth sleeping on what they are
supposed so,
to do.
So,
I'm listening.
So really, I wouldn't call it sleeping, you know. So Nigeria is the kind of place where you really do not get anything that you're supposed to get. Like, you do not get all the basic things that you would or you should normally get for being a citizen of the country. And for some reasons, we found ways to live and survive and enjoy it in the midst of all this. We found ways to make money through different means. We found ways to be creative. We found ways to, you know, be great and all. And then, after finding ways in doing all this, you know, upstairs that is killing the people on top of everything. So it was a case of, you are really not doing anything tangible for us.
I do get that point. Mr. Darlington Abuda is with us on the call. I would like to quickly get his opinion regarding.
Can you please disband this unit under the police force so that I stay alive?
Hello? Mr. Darlington, are you with us? Mr. Oluwatosin Adedamola, please read the majority of what you said. So, the most important thing is about disbanding this. Mr. Darlington Abuda, what are your thoughts on what Mr. Oluwatosin just mentioned regarding the issue?
No, I would need a bit of bullet points. I don't know what was wrong with the network. I didn't get part of what he said. So,
okay. So
maybe if you can share some points for me.
Okay, so you mentioned something about SARS being disbanded, and over the years, there've been calls that it has been disbanded. It has been, there are different names have been given to what we'll call it going away. But in context, it never did go away. And we'll find out that, like you said, they are harassing youths who try as much as possible, who work hard through different means to get their hard-earned money, and then we see the SARS operatives harassing them just for doing so. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, personally, I do agree that over the years, the various kinds of government has been disbanded hasn't really occurred, because we did the same windows where has been disbanded. I have had people who are within my space who have been accosted by members of this particular body. I remember a production meeting on a particular day, and the guy didn't get to us till evening. So we're basically about changing him for someone else. And when he finally got online, because we were calling, he wasn't picking. He finally got online, he said he was on his way to us. And then the bus he entered about around between a cotton together. Some people stopped when he came down from the bus and said he looked like a robber. And they introduced themselves as SaaS operatives, held on to him and a few others, seized his phone. They took him to an ATM where he withdrew money and paid them before they let him continue his journey. So that kind of person has that experience in this country, and within this period, SaaS had been disbanded. So truly, in the minds of the youth, in the minds of Nigerians, every time before now that it had been announced that SaaS was disbanded, it sounded like audio to them. So maybe that's why they took this particular announcement with a pinch of salt, because it had happened a few times, and after those times, the same people came back into the space, even though they were playing outside their name, the protocol that they had established to actually play. Because according to the name, a duty was in the game, which was special and celebrity sport. So actually, even the Yahoo boys are defending the name, even person. Actually, the name, the office, there were others at a different department that thought to have been attacking or looking for Yahoo boys or any other person. So they're actually playing outside their space. But even playing outside their space, they still overdid it, and which was why the guys, the youths, took it with a pinch of salt when it was announced.
Thank you for what you I have a question for you, and I have another question for Tosin. But Darlington, in your opinion, do you think the End SaaS protests achieved anything? And what are those things you would say the protest achieved? Because I mean, a lot of unfortunate incidents happened during the weeks of the protest and the morning, the weeks, the days after after the protest and after they were dispersed. I mean, so what are some of those things you would say the protest achieved?
Awareness, for one. The primary thing I would say the protest achieves is awareness amongst the youths. It has made a lot of people to start asking questions that they never thought they would ask before now. So let me say the positive things it achieved, in my view. One is awareness. Two, a form of unity, because prior to now, a lot of times when people see police harassing somebody in the streets, they go about their way, as in thanking God that it's not them, that the thing is happening to. But within the weeks of the protest, we saw there was a video where, now in this era of fake news, I can't say whether it was happening. I think it was happening within the weeks of the protest. Where a policeman, according to the video, or the people that initially posted it, they said it happened around the Keja area, where a policeman entered into a bus and wanted to exhort a particular bus driver. And the people around him did not walk away.
They stood there, till
he came down from the vehicle and walked away. They weren't scared of him because he was holding the gun. And same thing happened in Computer Village. They went to arrest somebody. This actually happened after the announcement a few after the IG announced the disbanding of SANS, they still went to Komita village wearing the SANS clothes to arrest somebody, and the people that came out and stood and they announced to take the person away the way they would have done before. So I think it, the protests awoke a form of solidarity, a form of awareness to rights that Nigerians didn't have before now. Internationally, I saw a post where someone said their own country also suffering from the same form of brutality, but when they saw what the youth in Nigeria were doing, it gave them hope to also and a form of resolve to also stand up to their people over there against brutality by the same, their own police forces in their country. So for one, I would say an awareness was awoken in the youths. Questions are now being asked that weren't being asked before. The spin-off from the protest, which was bad governance, etc., also came into the forefront, and those in power are now a bit more cautious because the people who they govern now seem to know that we are the ones paying your salary and not the other way around. So you are actually working for us there, the other way around. So I think awareness was the primary thing and the major thing that I believe the NSAS protest gave to the youth.
Okay, so quickly, let's speak with Mr. Oluwatosin Adedamola. Did you agree with the points that Mr. Darlington Abuda made, or is there anything you feel
that he left out?
He left out with regards to what has been achieved.
I agree totally with everything he said. I would just like to add from a political perspective. So the set of people that came out or that started the protest are the set of people that will normally tell you, oh, votes don't count, I'm not voting. You know, the set of people that have no PVCs, that the set of people that don't even take anything political serious. But the days after the protests were over, if you monitor online, I'm sure you have started seeing comments like, oh, I need to get my VC, I'm going to vote in 2023.
Even the forming of that political parties came into play.
Exactly. So it's a wake-up call for the politicians. Now they know that the group of people that they usually would not speak to when they want to campaign have now fully come to realize that they have a voice. A voice, I mean, they also matter in the process of electing a political office holder. So yes, 2020 will be an interesting year. I just hope that the people will keep the momentum and channel the same vibes they had for the protests for the elections in 2023. So that's just the angle I'd like to add.
Thank you very much for that angle. So I want to ask two questions. I'll probably throw it out so anybody could pick up on it. Now, we saw the address that our president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, President Muhammadu Buhari, made. And he kept people wondering that do we really have a leader? Because the manner, so to say, with which the address came, and then the contents of the content that he passed out to the information he passed out to the general public as regards the whole issue, and even despite the fact that some things happened, it seems like he neglected key factors or key things he could have included in his speech to Nigerians. That's one question. That do you think he should have said anything at all? If he could have just kept quiet. The second one is: do you think the SWAT, the replacement for the now defunct SARS, you think is actually the right solution in the right direction? Or do you think a total police reform at this moment, though, it has been termed as something that is failed, do you think is possible from this period?
Okay. I feel like the first city gave in getting the disbandment of SARS was actually enough for me, you know. But then that's just my personal view. For as long as Nigerians asking for the president to speak, that means he needs to actually impactful. So the problem with the president is that when you have a leader that comes and speaks once in a blue moon, that once when he has the opportunity or when he decides to speak, he tries to put everything that has happened from the last time he spoke to that very moment into one speech. And when that is the case, it becomes an issue of things that don't matter at that very moment. What people wanted to hear at that very moment was for him to say, okay, I have heard your cries, I can see the violence, and I'm going to ensure that they're going to end, blah, 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 like that.
Yeah, something like
that. But what about empowerment programs for the youth, was talking about trader money, was talking about market money. While I understand the angle, it was something to come. You know, that information was not needed for that. That one, his problem is that it was out of course. That's why I said, for it is a problem of leaders who do not speak as often as they should. So when they choose to speak, they want to put in bits and pieces of everything into one speech. That was the problem I saw with speech. And the speech was supposed to be more from an empathetic
point of view. That's true.
A point of view. You know, so all talks of, okay, we've done this for the youth, we've done that for the youth, was like saying, oh, we've done all of this for you, but you people are still going out there to go and protest. You know, so the tonality was off.
Okay.
The tonality was off, and it got people really upset, you know. I saw comments saying that, oh, the president did not even speak about the people that have died, this and that. Now, in that speech, there is actually a part where he spoke about the people that have, how he is not feeling good about it and blah, blah, blah. But then again, the problem of putting too many things into the speech now comes in again. Many people, after they've had credit money, market money, everything, switched off, and that was the end. The whole message of that speech was lost. You know, yeah. The speech would have been done better. The context should have been better. The tonality should have been better.
Okay.
You know.
So, before you quickly go into the next question, Mr. Danity, do you agree with what Mr. Adedamola said just now about the speech? Do you have a different opinion?
I agree that Nigerians felt that way, but I have a slightly different opinion.
So let's hear it.
My opinion from Nigerians wanted, yes, they wanted a particular thing that day. They were like children who were crying and they were looking for their father or their mother to come and pet them. Or they were looking for their mother to come and pet them, but the speech was more like a speech from a father who was trying to tell you there is food on the table, go and eat. I'm not expecting you to go and eat. If you are hungry, go and eat. That is the way like I saw the speech. I felt everything that needed to be in the speech was in the speech, but it wasn't there in the way some people wanted it to be there. For example, like Mr. Tosin said, the people that died were acknowledged, but where the people, where those that were angry, was that he didn't acknowledge those that died or those that they alleged died at the Lekki toll gate. And now that wasn't acknowledged based on information available at the time, which he said at a later date. But what I would say is this. I was in a conversation yesterday, a few days ago, and one of the things that I mentioned in the conversation, if you do not know, you cannot take advantage of something. There are provisions, even as faulty people would say the current constitution is, there are provisions that benefit the various people in the country that are not being taken advantage of because they don't know about it. The few that know about it may seem to be in a privileged space, and they seem to be the 1% of the 1%. But that 1% of 1% that they are is simply a factor of the knowledge that they have. To go a bit biblical, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." That is one of the things I feel the president was also trying to communicate when he started reeling out the various songs. Farmer money and the other monies that were home that he was releasing or that he had released. And he felt these guys had not listened to the songs. But if they are listening to that, they won't be saying some of the things that they were saying during the protests. So in sharing, and for a lot of people, a lot of people knew about Farmer money. They heard about it. But I dare say, not a lot of the youths have taken advantage of any of those things. There are a few people who have done that, but the bulk of the people who actually need to do that, I did not even know about it.
I have a question though. You've been speaking about the trader money and farmer money. When we look at this critically, would see that there are, I would like to put it, two differing opinions, so to say, because you find out that the people who are actually protesting for us to be ended are not people who would likely be in that category to go for the trader money or farmer money programs that have been made by the government. Because they have enough is the reason why the SARS operative are going after them, so to say.
But now there is no, it's not just trader money, farmer money. There is N Power, there is N Tech, there is N Agro. So it's not just the trader money, farmer money, or market money that is on the list that he listed out. The others that were there, which would apply to those who have gone to school, you have graduated. There is no job for you. You're not a trader. You're not a market person. But you need capital to do something. You want N-Tech, N-Power, N-Agro. These are being pushed out. There are grants and funding in place to empower people to enter into this space and become entrepreneurs. So a lot of the people in that space, people who were there, who were going out, that are in the entrepreneurial space, and these are products they can take advantage of to grow themselves, to become independent and stuff. But they may not have taken advantage of it because they do not know about it. Or they may have heard of it, but they don't know how to access it. So one of the things, like I said, is the benefits of the NSAS protest is it brought some knowledge out, and some people couldn't know about NPower. I have gone out to start asking questions about N-Power, about N-Tech, and how it applies and how they can access it. So they may never have known if not that speech. If they had just come out there and said, "I heard people died, I'm sorry, no problem, we've ended," that's just a symptom. That's for the cause. That's not the actual problem the people were crying about. SARS was just the flag that was being waved. Yes, the SARS was a problem, but that was just it. It gave root to a lot of other things. Yeah, that's why if you were looking at the hashtags, it wasn't just end SARS, it was end bad governance, it was end police brutality. There were a lot of other things that were coming out as a result of it.
Yeah.
And that speech, I felt, addressed the bad governance or part of the bad governance from the things that we saw after that. We saw that, okay, yes, we've been in this country, we know that there is bad governance. But we also know that in the midst of this bad governance, there are people who are thriving, there are people who have been successful. And they're not just becoming successful because they know certain people or because that they were born with sins. A lot of them are being successful because they have certain knowledge that the rest of us do not have. And this knowledge is available. I was part of the conference one day, and the person who was leading the conference, when the person mentioned the list of funding and grants available in Nigeria that government has put in place, he mentioned almost 20. To be frank with you, I had heard of only one.
To mend offenses.
Okay, guys, we're back.
So briefly, let's quickly take a break from the speech. I want us to quickly look into the police reform issue and the SWAT that was brought in to replace us. How viable do you think this option is? And do you think the police reform is actually possible in this day and time?
Personally, I believe it's possible. It's something that can be done. We just need a few people who are willing to do it. Regarding SWAT, that's one of the things I personally feel the IG announced at the wrong time, not feeling the pulse of the people. Because the truth is, SWAT has been there all along. SWAT didn't come out a month ago. There have been vehicles cleared SWAT around Lagos for some time now. They've gone for trainings and stuff. If you check back into our history, there was a time that they said our members of our Nigerian police stuff.
I agree with you. Trainings. I saw some research.
So it was just the... Yes, it was just the wrong timing to have announced it as if it was a replacement, because it's something that has been there. So maybe what he was trying to communicate in his head and what he said out of his mouth were actually two different things. Maybe he was trying to reassure that there was something there that could step in. But then in his reassurance, it was as if, okay, you are removing A and putting B. And we are telling you A is bad. You are just telling us we are seeing. That for me, that was wrong timing.
Okay.
In saying we are bringing in SWAT, especially because SWAT had been in the system way before now.
Okay. Mr. Tosin, let me cut you there, Mr. Abuja. Mr. Tosin, do you think do you agree with what Mr. Darlington said, or do you think there are other solutions that could have been put forward into resolving.
So can I go on?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. So the Nigeria Police Act was actually signed into law in September this year. That's just a month before the end sustained. Also, yeah, the ball has already been set rolling for a reform of the police. Now, the problem is, how fast is it going to be? Is it going to follow the same slow pace of SARS? Because if that is going to be the case, then the reform is probably going to take another 10 years or more, you know. And it all boils down to how important the government takes this, you know. If we put SARS into context, I feel like whatever is being done now would have been done in 2017. If it was done in 2017, then would have saved many lives, would have saved many people the old traumatic experience of SARS, you know, would have saved ourselves the events that happened during and after the end SARS protest, because at the end of the day, it's degenerated into all kinds of violence in all proportions, you know. So for the police reforms, now that the act has been signed by the president, meaning it has gone through the legislative arm of the government, and now the president has signed, it is now left for the government to ensure that the reform is done in a record time, and the process is open for everyone to see. You know, information is passed across just so that people can see that something is being done. If something is being done and people don't see it, then it's a problem. You know, it's going to be a problem, because if people don't know, they assume that you are not doing anything. You know, so as the reform is being done, the communication needs to be all around. Everybody needs to know about it. You know, and people need to start seeing the changes that they need to see in the Nigeria police. So yeah, the reform is important, very important, and it needs to be done. There are no two ways about it. And the government needs to double up on the reform process. Okay. If they had more time to do it before, I think after the whole protest, they have a much more lesser time to do it.
Okay. Now taking all these thoughts, I still have one more question with regards to that links the NSAS protest through to the presidency, and now coming down to the governors. We also are aware that in each state, most states in the federation, so to say, there are panels of inquiries that have been set up. Now, do you think the panels of inquiries that have been set up would actually do their job or carry out their jobs effectively in a way that will satisfy the people who have requested for something of this nature to happen? Do you think it's feasible short term, or do you think it's something that should also be maintained long term?
I feel like it's a good step in the right direction. At the end of the day, things need to follow due process. Like I was telling some of my friends who went out to protest, that at the end of the day, whatever it is you are demanding needs to follow due process, you know, and the judicial panel is one of those steps that needs to be taken for people to get justice. If it's going to be successful, I can't say, but I hope it is successful. If it's going to meet the expectations of people, I honestly cannot say, because there are too many people with different kinds of expectations. You know, there are a set of people that just want the panel to come out and be like, yes, so and so happened, and hundreds of people that, there are some that want the panel to come out and be like, oh, nobody died. You know, so in the end, what is important is that the panel does its job and justice is served across board.
Okay, Mr. Yeah. Abuda, are you still with us? Yeah,
I'm still here.
Okay. So he mentioned some things that people would likely want to be the outcome of these panels of inquiries that have been set up. Now, what do you think about the setup of the panel themselves? I think there are various quotas given to various people from different walks of life, so to say, that have been brought in. Do you think these people will be able to actually give the outcome that the people want, or they will bow to pressure and give the outcome that the government most likely would want them to give? Considering let's take Lagos into example, the Lekki massacre, so to say, though we don't know the entirety how many people lost their life, taking that into context, do you think the government will want to be exposed for all the activities that have taken place in Lagos here?
Okay. I think more than the result, in my view, more than the result, what Nigerians would even appreciate a lot more would be that the findings won't just end audio, but will actually be executed. So apart from the panels and the various bodies that have been set up for the various things that were asked in the 5 for 5, if those things have been executed, then yes, Nigerians would appreciate. But now, regarding the composition of the panels, I believe there is a human rights person there, a lawyer, youths, a previous DIG, and I think someone from the judiciary.
And there are representatives of the youth there also, at least of in Lagos State.
So I believe that the composition is right. It's okay. You have people who can speak for different aspects of it in that panel. Robust deliberations can happen based on the people in the panel. And if the right people come out and make their presentations, it would give the panel room to get to give proper recommendations. And now if those recommendations are actually executed, that is when we would have come full circle, where we'll say, okay, there is actually an equals to and an answer at the end of the day. If we do not get to the recommendations being executed, then it's basically tantamount to disbanding SARS and then all seeing SARS about 3 months later. Mm. Yeah, there has to be an execution to the recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
So it doesn't end up like the Oputa panel.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if we might the Oputa panel.
Going forward, my question is to Tosin. I mean, like Darlington just said, let it not look like after all of this effort and their lives have been lost,
it's all for nothing.
3 months from now, nothing. We're just back to status quo. But on the other hand, what do you think? Because a lot of the discussion that people were having was towards 2023, and people were like, get your PVC,
we'll create our own party.
And some people were like, get your PVC to do what with it. What do you want to do with your PVC? The political climate is still the same. So what do you think young people, especially those who channeled their energy and resources into the NSAS process, what do you think they should be doing right now?
What is the way forward?
Yeah, other than the panel. Yeah, we know the panel will do its own job. What else do you think these young people should be doing ahead of the next next electioneering season?
Okay, so first things first, I think people need to get involved with political discussions. People need to get educated about politics in Nigeria. I mean, it's not just for wanting to run for office, but there are some key information out there that you need to know. You need to know the people that are going to run in your constituents. You need to know the people that will represent you at the Senate. You need to know the people that will represent you at all levels. You know, most Nigerians on Twitter that fit into that class of those that came out to protest do not believe that they need all this information and knowledge. So at the end of the day, they have no say in who goes to represent them at the State House of Assembly or the National Assembly or the Senate. They have no say.
Okay.
Hello?
I wanted to say, so where does accountability now comes in moving forward, even with regards to what you've been discussing?
accountability on part of the government. Hello?
Yeah, accountability on the part of the government, accountability on the part of the people, because those representing us in government, they've not been held accountable, so to say, for their actions going forward. And what do you think the people should do in bringing those people to book, in asking the right questions, in making sure that those who represent them give them what it is that they actually need?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I said people need to get informed across all about knowing your state governor and the president. There are different layers of leadership that people need to be informed about. And then after being informed and knowing those people, you also need to know what you can hold them accountable for. Who is in charge of this? Who is responsible for that, you know? So when you know the person responsible for A, you know the kind of questions to ask, and you know when to ask it. During the old NSAS protest, I saw all the fire in the people. I saw the desire, but mixed in between, I was seeing misinformation, like people not knowing the difference between a state house of assembly and national assembly and things like that. And I always say the only way to demand from the government is if you are informed. If you are not informed, it will just look like you are blabbing. And if you are blabbing, the people in power will just look at you and be like, they are just making noise.
Yeah, so he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah.
Knowledge empowers. So that knowledge is very key. Going forward, you know, that knowledge is very key. By the time we start to ask the right questions and send those questions to the right people through the right means and the channels, then we'll be able to demand some level of accountability.
But as long as we don't have
that knowledge, it'll just look like we are shouting, you know. We are just shouting, they will just call our bluff.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tosin. We really love and appreciate your comments and opinions as regards to this topic. One more question let me throw this question to Mr. Abudu. Do you think the electoral policies in the country right now is going to make it difficult for us to move forward, considering points that Mr. Tosin just mentioned?
Let me say it like this. Yes and no.
Okay.
It can be made difficult, but I think if the youths are actually about getting proper representation, there is room, even in our current constitution, 40 as it is, for that to happen. One of the things he said, I think I heard you guys laughing when he said it, but it was one of the sad realities that we experienced. People not knowing what is what. Yes. Some people not even knowing the function of a local government chairman and the function of a governor. And the function of a president. Some people know what duties the state government is actually supposed to do, what their local government chairman is actually supposed to do. We all know that, because it's as if the way we've played our politics in this country, there is governor, there is president. We don't seem to think any other person matters. And these other people are elected and being paid by taxpayers' money to do certain jobs, which we do not put at their feet, because we don't even seem to know that one's supposed to actually be doing the jobs. For example, I was driving through somewhere yesterday, and I passed by a bad patch of road. And my question was, why won't the people in this area ask their representative what is going on? So what is the guy sitting in the house doing? Just talking about bills being raised by others, or going there to sleep, or going to Abuja to Gali
for them to work in their constituencies. That's actually the sad reality.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's them. Trump goes.
Nobody's asking them for those things. Nobody's asking them, what are you actually doing? Because some people don't even know what the House of Representatives is actually supposed to be doing. They don't know what a senator. For us, it's more like a title. You are Mr. and Mr. There is Mrs. There is Doctor. So there is Senator. There is Honorable.
Honorable with that.
Just know them as titles. The thing that the Constitution says makes you a senator, what you are supposed to be doing, senator. A lot of people who even contest do not even know. For them, it's just a natural step. It's their career path. I have served as counselor. I've done this thing. For some of them, it's okay. I have finished doing governor. I've done my 2 terms. There is space in this space for me again. What's the next thing to do? That's my promotion, to go to the Senate and stuff. So if we actually have awareness, then A, those that should be vying for elective offices for 2023, if the youths are going to support behind anybody, it shouldn't be because of a cup of rice or for a palliative that is actually our own before and somebody now rebranded.
The packaging has bad day.
It shouldn't
bad
be because of those things. It should be because of what this person is, what has he done before? What is he going there? Is he just a giant to go there and do party? Or is this someone that's actually doing something that would have faith in, based on, you are going to apply for a job somewhere, they will say bring TV. But nobody's coming to say, I want to go and represent a few million people. And nobody's asking him what he has done before. Yes, imagine a few years ago, from Ghana, and said they wanted to be, is he governor or president? And the question is, hello, is it to have run Ovation for a few years and then you went to Ghana for the bulk of the years of your life? Then you come back into the country and you say you want to be, was he governor or president? I've gotten the office he wanted to run for.
I think he was running for president.
Yeah, and then he was walking along Todd Mainland Bridge and doing speeches. And how sad can we get as a country that this person will even be considered, even by INEC, me, I would disqualify it. There should be provisions in place.
They're not guiding the electoral body. I don't think they have anything that may actually disqualify him.
No, but I feel, having stayed out of the country so long, you shouldn't be eligible to contest for election. Okay, there is, I believe Mr. Matthew is there. It comes from Edo State. Some years ago, there is a guy, what's his name, Imaswen. He lives in America. Every 4 years, he will come to Nigeria to contest for governorship.
Contest and loses and goes back to America.
When he loses, he will go back to America. Then, just before the next election, he will come back to Nigeria to contest.
During the election time, he comes.
And the question is, the party was the opposition party. It was actually the one contesting against Lucky Gideon then. It was opposition, so he was not coming to contest for a Kwekwe party. He was a major opposition candidate against this person. So you are coming from America to say what to me, now that you know what is going on in Edo State. How do you want to solve anything here? When immediately after election, you go back there and you continue there. And then when it's time, when it's like, if I'm using this next election now, towards the end of 2022, once it's time to start stuff, he will come back into the country and stay. Immediately he loses, he goes back for the next 3 years. Our constitution, the electorate should actually disallow such people, because there are people who feel they can take us for granted. What do you know about the state? What are you bringing? You do not know the state, you do not know the people, and then you say you want to come and govern them. With what? That's like a colonial master coming to take over the country all over again.
We are at the top of the hour, and the Zoom call will go off at exactly 1 hour.
Yeah, it has been very, very interesting discussing most of this topic, and I believe probably Friday this week we can pick up our discussion from where we stop. Though I do have another question in mind for Friday, something about should political career be a thing?
Yeah, we'll actually very, very important. Let me some other time. It's not necessary. So, it's a timeless topic. So, thank you for being with us. We appreciate glad you could do this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Mr. Ade Damola and Mr. Abuda, thank you for joining us on Apex Radio, and hopefully we'll see another time.
Really, yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Exactly. This discussion is one that...
Thanks for having me.
But probably in the comfort of our homes.
Yeah. we'd like to have you in our
studio.
All right.
Good. Blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye.
So, practically, we heard from our guests, they've enlightened us on a lot of things. And it's a discussion that, honestly, I don't think should have ended. Well, we are running against time, and it's 5 p.m. So, hopefully, we'll see you guys on Friday.
We want her to get home before midnight.
Yeah, we don't want this note to call in this area.
We want her to get home before midnight.
So, we'll be saying goodbye for now, and we'll see you guys on Friday. We'll discuss yet another interesting topic. So, stay tuned and have a lovely week.
Yeah.